We're turning in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 22. First Samuel 22, and we want to read it, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would take your word this morning and use it in the heart of each person who's here according to their need. We pray that you would give comfort and encouragement and hope to those who need it today. And we pray that you would bring conviction to the hearts of those who need it. And we all need that, Father. We all need to examine ourselves before you to see if we be in the faith. If we're in the faith, we need to examine ourselves before you to see if there be anything in us you would have us to lay before you, confess to you, and forsake. And we pray that your Spirit would do his work in our hearts today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we want to look at these verses in 1 Samuel chapter 22 one more time, one last time. What we are reading about in the cave of Adullam is David's hiding place. It's his hiding place from King Saul, who was seeking to kill him. And what we've been doing in these last three messages is looking at lessons from the hiding place. And we've learned three primary lessons about the hiding place. First and foremost, the hiding place is a person. We've seen that in three verses. Psalm 32 and verse 7, where David, the man that we see in this hiding place, said, Thou. That word is always singular. And that word is referring to a singular person. Thou art my hiding place. We see those words in Psalm 119 and verse 114. Where the writer of that psalm, possibly David, we don't know, but where the writer of that psalm said, Thou, again, a singular person, Thou art my hiding place. And the last verse that we looked at was Isaiah 32 and verse 2. And that verse begins, and a man. Notice again, a singular person, and a man shall be as an hiding place. And this singular man who is the hiding place is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the singular. He is the only hiding place. This singular language, the word thou that we find in Psalm 32 and verse 7 and in Psalm 119 and verse 114 and a man, the words that we see in Isaiah 32 and verse 2. This language that refers to a singular person here in the Old Testament takes us directly to John 14, 6 in the New Testament, where we find this same singular language. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come between now and this evening, or if he doesn't lead in another direction, we want to talk a little bit about the danger of that verse in this day and hour. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This singular language that we find in the Old Testament not only takes us to John 14:6, it takes us to Acts 4:12, where Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We talked about that last week, how there is only one way into the hiding place. And that's illustrated to us by the language that surrounds it. We're going to think for just a minute about those who came to the cave of Adullam. We want to think about those who came to this hiding place. Here in verse 1, we see that it was David's brethren and all his father's house. I take that to mean his father and his mother and his 6 brothers and his 2 sisters, and perhaps some or all of their families. And there's a message in that. A lot of messages. But one in particular is that families need to come down to the hiding place. Doesn't matter how good a father you are. Doesn't matter how good a mother you are. It doesn't matter how hard you work to provide. Doesn't matter how hard you work to make a clean and comfortable home, or how much you love and care for your children. You need to come to the hiding place. Doesn't matter how good a son or a daughter you are. Doesn't matter how little trouble you give your parents. Doesn't matter how good and kind that you might be to your brothers and sisters. You need to come down to the hiding place. You need to know the Lord. But families aren't the only ones who need to come down to the hiding place. Look at verse 2. And everyone that was in distress. That word distress means straitness. Straitness. And it's a description of people who are in a tight and narrow place. It's a description of people who are in a predicament. People who are in a dilemma. People who are in a bind. That's where sin will put you, isn't it? Sin will put you in agony. Agony of soul. It'll put you in pain. It'll put you in affliction. And the only place that you can find joy and peace and calm is to come down to the hiding place, as these people did. But it wasn't just those who were discontent. Everyone that was in debt came down to the hiding place. In Matthew chapter 18, we read about a certain king. And this certain king took account of his servants. And when he did that, one of his servants was brought to him, and this servant owed him 10,000 talents. If you look around to find how much a talent is, you find a number of answers. A number of opinions, I guess, would be the way to say it. One of the most reliable books that I have says that a talent is $400. And so that would mean that this servant's debt to this certain king was $4 million. But I think the real answer is that we don't know how much a talent is. And I think that's by design. Because the Lord wants to teach us something. He wants us to understand that what this means is that ultimately this servant's debt to this certain king was incalculable. It could not be calculated. It could not be figured. Folks, you and I are born into this world with an incalculable debt of sin. We can't pay it. A certain king, the God of glory, has weighed us in the balances and found us wanting. The good news is what we find in Isaiah chapter 53. But the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God took our incalculable debt of sin and laid it on his own dear son. And the only way that we enter into that wonderful condition of being debt free from the load of sin is to come down to the hiding place, as these people did. And then we see that everyone that was discontented came down to the hiding place. That word discontented is an interesting word. It's made up of two Hebrew words. The first one is number 4751, and it means bitterness. The second word is number 5315. It means soul. And so everyone that was bitter in soul came down to the hiding place. The hiding place is the only place where you'll ever lose your bitterness of soul. And it's like that because of the person of the hiding place who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But there's another group that came down to the hiding place. We find them in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 13, and we find them in 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. This group were the heads, the chiefs, the captains, the mighty men. But their need was the same. Their need, in spite of their position in life, their need was the same as David's family. Their need was the same as those who were distressed and in debt and discontented. They needed to come down to the hiding place, to the rock, to the king, and into the cave of Adullam, into the hiding place. See, it didn't matter who you were, family, captain, mighty man. Didn't matter what your circumstances were. Whether you were distressed or in debt or discontented, there was only one way into the cave, into the hiding place, to David. And that was to come down to him. And folks, this morning, there's only one way into the one and only hiding place. And that is to come down from ourself, to come down from our way and our thoughts, to come down from our works and our self-righteousness, and come down to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was cleft for us on the cross of Calvary. Come down to the rock with a broken spirit and a contrite heart over our crimes against a holy God, and cry out in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And when that happens, God takes us and he washes us from our sins in his own blood, and he puts us into Christ. He puts us into the hiding place. And we're safe and we're secure for all eternity. And no man can pluck us out of his hand. And nothing, as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The hiding place is a person. A singular person, a singular man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Are you in the hiding place this morning? Are you in Christ today? Do you know him as your Savior? But then we saw last week that the hiding place is also an object, and it's a place. And they fit together perfectly with the person of the hiding place. The object that is the hiding place here in this world is the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 114, the psalmist says that the Lord is his hiding place and his shield. And then he says this, I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. He recognized the equality between the one who was his hiding place, the one who was his shield, and his word. And we talked, I think it was Sunday night, last Sunday night, that just as the word living is the hiding place, just as the word living is the only place of shelter and safety and refuge here in this world, just as the word living is a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, just as the Lord Jesus Christ to his people is his rivers of water in a dry place and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, so too is his word. And so we have the person who is the hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the book that is the hiding place, the written word of God. And then we talked last Sunday night, and we talked again on Wednesday night about the place here in this world that is a hiding place. The place that is the visible manifestation here in the world of what we read about in Isaiah 32 and verse 2. A place that is a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. A place that is as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And that visible manifestation of the hiding place in the world today, I believe, is the local church. And in the time we have left this morning, we want to see some other lessons from this hiding place concerning the local church. I want us to think about the name Adullam. The cave of Adullam that David came to, the hiding place. The name Adullam has two meanings. And in these two meanings, they're very instructive. Because I think in these two meanings, we have the twofold ministry of the local church. The first meaning of this word Adullam is a testimony to them. A testimony to them. To the world, to those who are lost, the local church is to be a testimony to them. How do we do that? Well, we've mentioned in these studies Paul's description of the local church in 1 Timothy 3:15. He said that it is the pillar of the truth. And what does the pillar do? It stands. It never moves. It never changes. It rises above all of its surroundings. And it doesn't matter what goes on around it. No matter how hard the winds of changing circumstances blow, the local church, like the person who is the hiding place, is to be a hiding place from the wind. Doesn't matter how much the tempest and storms of change rage in this world. The local church, like the person who is the hiding place, is to be a covert from the tempest. And this can only happen when the pillar of the local church is resting four square on the ground of the written word of God that testifies of the person who is the hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about it, this is another of these threefold cords that we have talked about recently. This cord that runs from the person of the hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ, that runs to the book of the hiding place, the written word of God, and it runs to the hiding place of the local church. That's the threefold cord that we need in this country. And this is the only way that the hiding place of the local church can be a testimony to the world. When it's this threefold cord relationship, the local church cannot be a testimony by compromising and changing its stand. The hiding place of the local church can't be a testimony to them by being like the world and talking like the world and playing the world's music and appealing in every way that it can to the world. What the world needs to see in the closing hours of this age is a testimony. A testimony from the local church that is unflinching and unchanging and unmovable. This is what we call, or we could call, I guess, the external ministry of the church. And we see that in this first meaning of the name Adullam, a testimony to them. But there's an internal ministry for the hiding place of the local church. And it's suggested by the other meaning of the name Adullam. That meaning is resting place. Resting place. To those who are saved, the church is a resting place. Do you look at it that way? It's a haven. It's a refuge. It's a shelter where we can come aside, where we can rest, where we can refresh ourselves from the cares and the burdens of life, the problems that we face in our lives, the difficulties that we see in the world. It's a place where we minister to one another. It's a place where we bear one another's burdens. It's a place where the love and the bonds should be so close and so tightly drawn that if one member suffer, all the members suffer. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with that member. Is that the attitude of heart that we have? We see another member suffer in the body. Do we think, pour it on him, Lord? He sure does need it. Or when another member is honored, do we rejoice or do we envy? This is our hiding place. This is where our family is if we're saved. It's where our brothers and sisters, those who've come down to the person of the hiding place, gather in the place that is the hiding place, with the person who is the hiding place, around the book that is the hiding place. When you think about it like that, this is a very special place. Turn over for just a minute to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Notice what we read under the psalm number. Psalm 57, to the chief musician, Altasketh, Mictum of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. This psalm was written from the cave of Adullam. This psalm was written from the hiding place. And what you see here is David's view from the hiding place. Before David came here, before he came to the hiding place, last Sunday morning, we went back into 1 Samuel chapter 21. Because 1 Samuel chapter 22 tells us that David came thence, and thence we needed to see where thence was. And it was there in chapter 21. Before David came to the hiding place, he thought that Nob would be a safe place. But it wasn't. And it wasn't a safe place because Doeg the Edomite was there. He was over the servants of Saul. And he saw David. And he, a little later in chapter 22, reported to Saul. And it's Doeg the Edomite who slew Ahimelech the priest and went in and wiped out the town of Nob. David thought that the sword of Goliath would help him. He asked Ahimelech, what do you have here? You know, the king's business is required such haste that I didn't have time to get my sword or my spear. What have you got here? And Ahimelech said, well, I've got the sword of Goliath, who you slew in the valley of Elah. I've got that here. And David said, give that to me. There's none like that. Sure didn't do Goliath any good. But David thought it would help him. He thought that Achish, the king of Gath, would help him and give him shelter. But what David found is that there is no help for the child of God from the world or its people. There is no help. He found out that the people who really cared about him were the ones who came to him and were there with him in the hiding place. David learned that it's in the hiding place that we get the proper view of the world and a proper view of the people who are in it. Look at verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. We're going to talk about one of those tonight, Lord willing. The world is not a friendly place for the child of God. It's a place of lions. The devil is described as a roaring lion. And it's worth noting here that the word lions is plural. Why would it be like that? I believe it would be because this is a reference not only to the devil, but also to all of his demons, to all the powers of darkness. The devil and his demons are in control of this world system. And he exercises this control, as we see it here, through them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. The devil and his demons and his children hate believers. And one of the ways that we feel this hatred is when we come down and we identify ourselves with the person who is the hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we identify with the hiding place that is his word, the King James Bible, and we identify with a local New Testament hiding place that identifies and stands with the person and the word that are the hiding place. That's when you find out something about what David's talking about here. Them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. Not its own, his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We don't ever need to forget that. And yet, whenever we get out of fellowship with the Lord, what's one of the first things we do? We leave the hiding place, don't we? We stop coming to church. We stop coming to the meetings. And when that happens, we lose our perspective on the world. We lose the sharpness of the distinction between right and wrong. We lose the sharpness of the distinction, the clarity of the distinction that God clearly delineates here in His Word between truth and error. When we leave the hiding place, the world doesn't look like such a bad place. And we forget that the world hates us, and pretty soon we are embracing it. And we're going there for help, and we're going there for comfort and aid in the same way that David headed down to Nob and then headed down to Gath, and with the same results. We change our behavior in front of the world. That's what David did. He changed his behavior down in Gath. When we want to be embraced of the world, we're going to have to change our behavior. We're going to have to go back to the old life and the characteristics of the old life, allow those things to manifest themselves in us. We'll find ourselves distressed when that happens. we're distressed. So we find ourselves back in the straits of sin. We'll find ourselves in debt because we have forgotten the incalculable debt of sin that we've been forgiven of. And when we go into the world, we lose the kindness and the tender-heartedness toward our fellow believers. And we no longer forgive them as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And we're at odds with them. We get mad at them when they tell us the truth. We don't want to have anything to do with them. And then we become discontent. A root of bitterness springs up and troubles us, and it defiles us. What a condition for a child of God to be in. And it all begins when we get out of fellowship with the person of the hiding place. And then we stop reading the word of the hiding place. And then we forsake the hiding place of the local church. We get out there in the world. Folks, we need to stay in the hiding place. And when we faithfully stay in the hiding place, something very important will take place in our lives. We'll get something that will make us a testimony to them in the world. We'll get something that will make us usable. We'll get something that will make us love and appreciate this resting place and those who are in it. Look at verse 7. David says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." When we get in the hiding place, when we stay in the hiding place, what we get in the hiding place is a heart. And notice it. We get a heart that is not just fixed. We get a heart that is double fixed. That's what David says, isn't it? I mean, he could have just said, "My heart is fixed, O God. I will sing and give praise." But he says it twice. When we get in the hiding place, what we get there is a heart that is double fixed. Fixed upon the person of the hiding place. Fixed upon the word of the hiding place. Double fixed. In the hiding place of the local church, where the word living and the word written are exalted, that's where we get stability in the Christian life. You show me a stable, faithful believer, and I'll show you a believer who's in the hiding place. I'll show you a believer who's in the hiding place every time the doors are open. Christian, is your heart double fixed this morning? Is there stability in your life? If your spiritual life is marked by ups and downs, if it's marked by instability, An inconsistency, we may be looking at your problem right here. Your heart's not in the hiding place. Your body may be here. But sometimes our bodies are present and our hearts are absent. When our hearts leave the hiding place, we'll become distressed, discontented, dissatisfied. First thing you know, we'll begin to murmur and complain. And pretty soon our bodies will follow our hearts. And we'll be gone from the hiding place. This church, Calvary Memorial Church, is a local New Testament hiding place. And the Lord brings people to this hiding place just as he brought people to David in that hiding place 3,000 years ago. And I'll tell you a little something this morning, because I've experienced it. What your flesh wants to do, and what the devil wants to do, and what the powers of darkness want to do, is get you out of this hiding place. Get you out of here. If the Lord has brought you to this hiding place, he'll never lead you to another one. This is the hiding place he wants to use you. It's the hiding place where he wants you to be a testimony. It's the hiding place where he wants you to rest and be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to your family, to others who have come down to the rock, come down to the hiding place and know the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this hiding place this morning. And we thank you for those that you've brought here. And Father, we pray that you would help us every day to recognize the attack of our own heart, the attack of the devil and the powers of darkness to get us out of the hiding place and embracing the world. We pray that if there are any here who are lost today, that they would see their need to trust you as their Savior. They would understand that the relief for distress, the relief for the debt of our sin, the relief for the bitterness of soul is only found in the person of the hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that in this moment they would surrender their hearts to him. We pray that you would bless this hiding place in the days ahead and help us amidst the winds of circumstance and the tempest of change to stand for you, steadfast and unmovable. Help this place and help your people to abound in the work of the Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.